Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church here in Hoyleton, Illinois. We welcome all of you who are worshiping with us here in person, as well as those of you who are worshiping with us online. My name is Vicar Brett Jones. It's a pleasure to be back here in Hoyleton. I cannot express to you how excited my family and I are to be here today. Please stand as you are able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us, and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. We speak responsively together the introit. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. And I lay down my life for the sheep. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. And I lay down my life for the sheep. We sing together our hymn of praise, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, instead of the Gloria in Excelsis.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
With thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. We will sing the Psalm of the Day responsively. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The first reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter is from the book of Acts, chapter 4. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is from 1 John chapter 3. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. But if anyone who has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth, and reassure our heart before him. For wherever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand as you are able for the Alleluia and the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please join me with Christians all around the world in confessing our common Christian faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's sermon is from John chapter 10. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, one of the things that my family and I will never forget is the day that we arrived here in Hoyleton, about 100 feet over there, and began to unload our moving truck. Now, over the course of the first week we were here, a number of remarkable things happened. I just want to focus in on a couple of them as illustrations. The first was as we began to unload, someone pulled over in their truck, rolled down the window and said, "Hey, are you guys moving in?" We said, "Yes." He said, "Hold on, just give me 10 minutes and I'll be back." And of course, being from the city, we were like, "He's not coming back." But he did, and it wasn't even 10 minutes later. And the other, another person who's sitting here today, was putting together our bunk bed for our girls. And he realized that we had brought the wrong size bolts. And instead of just saying, "Well, sorry, that's it," he, without even saying what he was going to do, just left, went to the hardware store, brought the correct size back, and then put it together. And then when he told us what we had done, it was like just an everyday occurrence. And we were floored because we didn't experience kindness like that on a regular basis before we got here. And it's frankly kind of shocking to an outsider. Who would have thought? We're like, "Oh yeah, I just ran however many miles it is to the nearest hardware store, got the bolts, brought them back, and put your bunk bed together, and it's just another day it's another day that ends in Y." But that's the way it is. I've seen many faces go, "Oh yeah, yeah, that makes sense." Because that's one of the things that makes this town special. It's the kindness that people show and the gentleness that people give to one another. And the relationships that form the bond in a small town like this. It's those kindness and relationships that we're going to focus in on today. Because in our gospel reading today, Jesus lays out the kind of relationship that he has. He lays out who he has that relationship with. And finally, he lays out what he will do because of that relationship. So let's start with the first, and getting back to the gospel reading today and the discussion of sheep. Now, sheep, as you well know, have a couple of distinguishing characteristics. The first is that they herd together as a way to protect themselves. That's not unique to sheep, but it is one of the things that we think about when we think of sheep, right? They travel as a pack. Kind of like a soccer game with a bunch of little kindergartners flowing back and forth. And sheep also follow what they consider to be a friend. The whole flock can move with one individual, whether it's another sheep or a shepherd. And a shepherd who is cruel to the sheep or a stranger will not be considered trustworthy by those sheep, but someone who takes care of them is, and they follow him. You can think of your relationship to Jesus in sort of this manner, right? How many of you in a time of crisis have offered up a short word of prayer? Maybe it was right before your driver's test. You're like, "Oh Lord, help me get through this." Maybe it was a time where you were sitting next to a family member who was sick or struggling. Or maybe you were in some sort of emergency where you just didn't know what to do or whether you could do anything. But offering up that prayer gives you an indication of that implicit trust that you have in Jesus. After all, if you didn't have that trust, you wouldn't look to him in that emergency situation, right? You would look to yourself. And also the fact that we trust what God's answer is going to be for that prayer is a sign of our trust as well. Because sometimes the answer to the prayer isn't the one that we hoped for at the time. But we still trust that our Heavenly Father is looking out for us. That works in reverse, too, because He knows you. Just like your family pet, sheep and other farm animals, as you all know, have their own distinct personalities. A shepherd or a farmer will know what each of his or her animals are going to be like. Jesus knows you intimately as well. He knows your personality. He knows your thoughts. He knows your dreams. He knows your fears. And He knows your secrets. There's nothing that you know that He doesn't. So let's talk about who's included in that relationship. And as we do that, let's talk a little bit about grammar. I know everyone is like, I'm coming to church today to talk about the difference between a definite article and an indefinite article, right? Yeah, okay. But go back to verse 11 for a second. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. See, this is intentional. Jesus is being very specific when he says, I am the good shepherd. He didn't say, I am a good shepherd. He's not one in a group of many shepherds, some of which are better than others. He is in a class all by himself. Think about an everyday shepherd for a moment. They watch over their own flock of sheep. They don't combine their herds with anybody else's. That would be ridiculous, right? That would be like going and plowing your neighbor's field or taking their animals under your care outside of some sort of emergency circumstance because they don't belong to you. And that would be trespassing and violating trust of ownership. But one way that Jesus shows you that he is the good shepherd is that he doesn't operate in this way. While Jesus was on earth, he frequently included people who would have been considered outsiders, whether it was dining with tax collectors and sinners, talking to a woman, a Samaritan woman of all, next to the well. Jesus ran against the culture of the time, because according to Jewish tradition, these people would have been outside of the flock. They wouldn't have been saved because they didn't share the same heritage or customs. But Jesus included them anyway. He then expanded the definition of what it means to be chosen by God. No longer were you a child of God by blood or heritage. Instead, you were chosen by the Holy Spirit and given faith. And over the past almost 2,000 years, the Christian church has welcomed people from every ethnicity, every background, every race, every language, and every culture. Jesus didn't come to earth as God incarnate for only a specific people at a specific time. He came for all people through all time. And as you heard in the first reading today, this wasn't lost on the religious leaders of the time because they tried to suppress that message because it went against what they taught. While he was on earth, they tried to contain the message of Jesus and they tried to eliminate it after he rose. As Peter said in our first reading today, this Jesus is the same stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. The Jewish leaders try to separate themselves from the people that they deemed to be not worthy. But the message of Jesus couldn't be contained. It couldn't be suppressed. It spread all over the world, and now here we are, almost 2,000 years later, halfway around the world, talking about that same Jesus who walked through Palestine. Because the message and the work of Jesus are for all people in all time. Finally, let's talk about what Jesus did because of that relationship. Jesus lays out the difference between a family member and a hired hand taking care of the sheep in verses 12 and 13. A family member takes better care of the sheep because of the ownership involved. They have skin in the game. But in Jesus' time, there were even limitations as to just how far a shepherd was to go in protecting his flock. A shepherd was certainly expected to risk danger in protecting his flock, but that shepherd was also expected to come out of that encounter alive. He was not expected to sacrifice himself. And when you think about it, that makes intuitive sense, right? Because if the shepherd dies trying to protect the sheep are actually in no better position than they would have been without a shepherd. Now they are defenseless. But now, Jesus is different. Think for a moment of the Garden of Gethsemane. What did Jesus pray for? He prayed for the cup of wrath to be taken from him. And when his Father said that he must drink the cup of wrath, what did he do? He followed the Father's will. He willingly laid down his life for you. Instead of protecting himself, he laid down his own life to rescue you from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Instead of putting himself first, he shielded you from the permanent punishment that you deserve for your sins. And instead of preserving his own life to protect his flock, he laid down his life so that his flock would not experience permanent death. That's the sort of love that Jesus shows for you. He did this out of his own accord. He wasn't forced into it. He didn't do it out of guilt or shame. He didn't do it to serve himself. He did it because he knows you. He knows that you have sinned. He knows that the devil prowls around the world like a wolf prowls around a flock of sheep. He knows that without his protection, we would all fall prey to the devil and his ways. Because Jesus goes beyond being a good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. And so we look to our first reading today to see an example of the response we give to his love. We do good deeds for other people. Now, we won't be able to perform miracles like the apostles did so many years ago, but that's okay. There are more good works prepared for you than you can count. And you'll do those good works. You'll tell all of those around you about what he has done for you. You'll tell them how there is salvation in no one else, that there is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. Only the Good Shepherd can do that. Through the Good Shepherd, you receive a level of love and compassion that is unmatched through time and space. Yes, it even exceeds the love shown to a new family moving to an unfamiliar and faraway small town. It exceeds the love that you are even capable of showing to your family, your friends, and your neighbors. But that's what the Good Shepherd does. He acts regardless of how we stand before him. He restores your soul. And on the last day, your restored soul will rejoin your restored body to live in the new heavens and the new earth. And you'll be reintegrated with all of the members of the flock, both those from the Old Testament and those from the New as well. And you'll be in paradise forevermore along with your Good Shepherd. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, both now and into eternity. Amen. Please stand as you are able. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord Jesus, you are our good shepherd and provide us with all we need to support this body and life. We lack for nothing. Help us appreciate the good gifts you have given us, including clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus, when we are lost and weary, you restore our souls. Make us lie down in the green pastures of your word and sacraments, basking in the abundance we find in these good gifts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus, in this fallen world, we often walk through the valley of the shadow of death. War, terror, disease, and chaos threaten our peace of mind. Remind us each day that we need not fear evil, for you are with us, and your rod and staff comfort us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus, tend your sheep in all their cares, and bring comfort and healing to the sick, injured, and the grieving, especially those in care facilities, including Thretta, Ferris, Bill, Helena, Esther, Bessie, and Brian. Dee and Ray, as they recover from surgery, and those with ongoing health concerns, including Layla, Fran, Marvin, Harley, Amy, Bula, Verdell, Jim, Richard, Carlene, Alma, Jim, Mike, Greg, Orville, Linda, Marvin, Francis, Chris, Jean, Sim, Sam, Case, Laverne, Norma, Diane, Brenda, and all those who are coping with cancer, and all those who are recovering from the coronavirus. According to your will, have mercy on them with the abundance that comes only from your hand. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus, your goodness and mercy surely follow us all the days of our lives. We thank you for the blessings you pour out on us as we rejoice, especially with those who are celebrating birthdays. Dolores, Wayne, Chance, Sam, Mabry, Levi, Laverne, and Curtis. Gary and Marilyn Sudemeyer, as they celebrate their anniversary and the birth of Reed Hunter. We ask your continued blessing upon the call process for the administrator here at Trinity in Hoyleton and those who are out in mission, especially the Reverend Joel Fritchie. And we ask your blessing upon those who are serving in the nation's armed forces, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Cody, Ward, Caitlin, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Alex. Lead us to glorify you in all that we do. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus, we bring you these and all the other petitions of our hearts and minds, trusting that you hear and answer them in the way that is best. We pray in your name. Amen. You may be seated as we sing the offertory hymn. Please stand. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. You may be seated as we sing our closing hymn.
Thank you.
It's time for the Sunday school children to be dismissed and head over to the school. A reminder that kindergarten and first grade will not be meeting for Sunday school today.
Mr. Ben Bainey has a special announcement for the congregation.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Jones. Good morning, everyone. So as many of you know, we had a call committee a couple Sundays ago and voted to extend a call to John Schaff to be our next principal here at Trinity Hoyleton. And he called this past week and sent me the following letter on his decision. Dear family of Trinity, thank you very much for welcoming my wife Leandra and me to your church last Sunday. We enjoyed getting to know some of you and appreciated the meal and tour around the school, Hoyleton, and surrounding communities. You have been blessed with a caring pastor, faculty, and board of education who are united in their care about teaching children the truth of God's word. After much time spent in prayerful consideration, I accept the call to be your principal. Being your principal will be a blessing and a joy. It is not easy leaving Zion and Litchfield after 26 years, but the Lord has directed me to serve the family of Trinity. My wife and I look forward to being part of the Trinity family. I do have some requests. Please continue to pray for the ministry of training God's children up in His word and truth. Please continue to support the pastor, faculty, families, and each other in trying times and in good times. Finally, please continue to speak the truth in love and to forgive as we are forgiven in Christ. One of the many assurances that I have in leading a Lutheran school is summed up in Isaiah 48. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. That word of God gives us His promises of love, forgiveness, mercy, and eternal life. It is a privilege to work in that ministry. After we move to join the family of Trinity, please never hesitate to come and introduce yourselves. Also, please give me many chances to learn and remember your names. It may take a while, but eventually it will stick. Leandra and I are looking forward to getting to know everyone. May our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ bless you, keep you in His care, and give you His grace as we grow together in the body of Christ. In Christ, John Schaff. So praise be to God that He has called John Schaff and to be our principal here in Hoyleton, and we are very thrilled and excited to have the opportunity to welcome him and his wife, Leandra, to our community here in Hoyleton. On behalf of the board, I want to thank Mrs. Casson and Mrs. Thiemann, Francine Tracy, and also Pastor for serving on the board, or on the call committee. We relied heavily on their knowledge and experience throughout that process, and also to the rest of the teachers and staff, and to you all, the congregation, for all your prayers and support, and for your warm welcome that you gave Mr. Schaff and his wife, Leandra, last week. So we'll have more details later on the installation and moving date and things like that, but in the meantime, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to me or Pastor or any of the other board members. So, thank you.
Good news indeed, and proof once again that if you come to this place, you can't, you just can't leave. You can't say no. A few other announcements. There will be a PTL meeting Thursday evening at 6:30. If you have any donations for the Parsonage Kitchen remodel, please drop them off to the church office. And finally, a reminder that there is a blood drive at Christ Our Rock this Wednesday, the 28th, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And I just want to say once again, thank you from my family to yours, to welcoming us back to Hoyleton for today. It's been a pleasure to see many of the faces that really haven't changed that much since we left a couple of years ago, but it's wonderful to be here again. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Have a blessed Easter season.